Even kids who love climbing trees usually stop when they get older. If you think you're missing something, you may be ready for a sales pitch from a tree climbing institute in Oregon. The enterprise encourages people to explore the ecosystems of huge old trees in the same way that scuba divers might explore coral reefs. That idea sounded perfect to NPR's Ketza Levine. Of course, first she had to get up the tree.
You kind of look through those that two branches.
It's right.
I'm not seeing it. Oh, no. I've just seen it.
Yeah. I am not afraid of heights, at least not with my feet on some ground. But we've just spotted our group's accommodations for the night. Hammocks 200 feet up a tree.
I'll demonstrate here. I'm going to go like that and settle into the harness.
Showing us the way is Scott Altenhoff, co-founder of the Pacific Tree Climbing Institute, a man who can ID a conifer blindfolded by the smell of its sap.
Okay, my anxious friend, we're going.
No, not me. He's talking to another in our group who will, by the end of this trip, conquer a crippling fear of heights. My handicap is just garden variety self-doubt, well within his area of expertise.
Yes. Ketzel and I are ascending. Over.
We begin, slowly, as we did during yesterday's practice, when I managed to climb 40 feet up a very user-friendly tree. But we're now about to scale a 21-story-high behemoth, a 700-year-old Pseudotsuga menziesii, common name Douglas fir.
Watch me again. Follow as I'm doing it. We've got our hand here. We can slide that up. Grab there. Okay, that's it.
Here's the getup. I'm wearing a little white helmet, non-matching gloves, and a snug padded harness, which fits like an infant swing. Two giant clips dangle from my harness, blue and gold ascenders. They attach me to the climbing rope, and all I need to do is slide one up, then the next, to inchworm my way up the tree.
This gets easier from here.
Whoops.
Doing great.
For some reason, I'm swinging around here.
My heart is in my mouth, and I am gasping for air. Scott suggests I sit back and relax. I look down. We have gained 4 feet.
I'm feeling exhausted.
Okay, 99% of that is just stress, so let's just focus on breath for a second. Deep breath, there. That's it. And now you're guaranteed to get plenty of air.
One of the strengths Scott Altenhoff brings to his job is a therapist's willingness to meet people where they are and usher them into unseen worlds. Awakening people to their own possibilities is one of the Institute's goals. But its main intent is to increase awareness about our dwindling old-growth forests, like the ones stretching out all around us now, an Oregon wilderness of fir, hemlock, and big-leaf maple called Opal Creek.
To our right, you can see that majestic snag, pileated woodpecker heaven.
As we ascend 20, 40, 60 feet up a branchless wall of wood, we pass coral-like communities of different colored lichen, some black and white and crinkly, others with infinitesimal bright red tips. We scale the tops of smaller trees, and I look down on a trampoline of textures, flat-palmed maples, finely webbed hemlocks, drapes of Doug fir. 100 feet, and our own Doug fir begins to flex its ancient limbs.
Some branches in my way here. Ouch! Just banged my head on the branch. Ouch! I just did it again!
We finagle our way through narrow openings, scrambling higher and higher. Scott Altenhoff points out a nest of red tree voles, fodder for spotted owls. We are now 16 stories above the earth, and we have landed.
Put that foot in the tree boat.
Whoa.
Now,
just get in.
That's it. Exactly. And kick this foot out and spin around so your feet are out that direction.
With the grace of a dancer, no, not me, that's Scott great. Altenhoff tangles mid-air with ropes, carabiners, and monkey tails, tucking me into my canvas hammock. It's tested to 4,000 pounds, he says, but it still feels more like a ledge than a bed.
I can't imagine spending an entire night up here. Mm-hmm.
While I stall, everyone else settles in. I can't see their tree boats, but I can hear them talking, which strikes me as odd, all six of us up here. And I start to wonder about the implications of this climb. Are we doing damage? The question also nags at my arboreal guide.
One of my greatest fears has been that this will become my own personal Frankenstein monster, that I helped promote an activity that will turn into people loving trees to death, trampling the root systems or the fragile organisms within the canopy. However, I think the good that can come from getting people to understand and appreciate the forest canopy far outweighs the potential for harm.
The best Scott Altenhoff hopes for is that people will begin to see all trees differently, that they'll realize even neighborhood saplings have the potential to be old-growth trees. He's banking both his business and his hopes for our forests on what awaits those who make this climb. Oh, now it's getting darker. Beads of sap shine in the moonlight. Lichen sways like tinsel in the branches over my head.
There is a lot of detritus falling from upper branches, covering my sleeping bag and my head and into my eyes.
I am dimly aware that a fall could kill me, but I'm too comfortable to care. Drained of all worry, I fall into a deep sleep.
It's 7:15 in the morning. Very soft, pearly white light. I look over the edge of my boat and I just see forest absolutely everywhere. There is no way to see the ground. I have a smile plastered on my face and I think I'm going to roll over and go back to sleep. Ketzel Levine, NPR News.
To see Ketzel's view from the top, visit npr.org.